Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey listeners, I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week, they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Faux, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp. This all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon, and scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more.
Osiris. Hey, this is Reed Mathis. This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Check out OsirisPod.com and stay in the loop. Sign up for the newsletter to learn about the newest podcasts and events. Relix Magazine is a media partner of Osiris. For music news, go to Relix.com. Osiris.
Everybody, this is a quick hit for the Forum Night 2. I'm here with frequent guest and very good friend Brian Brinkman. What's up, man?
How's it going, man?
It's going well.
Brian technically, I think, is producing this show because he's the one who hit the record button. So thanks. Thanks for doing that. It's always hectic on the weekends when everyone's running around with childcare and family stuff. But you just got back from two nights at the Forum. And I guess for those people who don't know, Brian is the co-host of Beyond the Pond, another Osiris podcast. And you guys just put out an episode on the Gorge Chalk Dust late this week, right?
Yeah, we released one on Thursday covering the first five shows of the tour, focusing mainly on the Gorge Chalk Dust. And for those who don't know, our whole idea, we take like a fish jam, we break that jam down, and then based on a couple of themes, introduce you to music outside of kind of the jam band norm, go into a lot of different musical categories and musical ideas. And we're hard at work now on our next episode, which will come out next Tuesday after the Atlanta shows, and is going to cover Bill Graham, the Forum, and Austin.
Nice. Yeah, it was Jonathan and I were talking about on the quick hit. I think last night at Bill Graham, Jonathan and I were chatting. And I was saying it's cool that on this tour, you guys are kind of covering the, you know, tour in more depth in terms of specific jams, and we're doing the quick hits. It's a good compliment. We love partnering with you guys. I liked hearing your breakdown. And people should check out Beyond the Pond and other Osiris podcasts as well. OsirisPod.com. So, Brian, tell us just first before we get into night two of the Forum, what have been your kind of overall impressions of the tour? For me personally, whenever I see Fish or when they're on tour, it takes me a long time to form impressions. I can't even remember like the nights of the Gorge, because I listen to everything the next day and then move on. It's so much music so fast. And so what have your overall kind of impressions been so far?
I think it's been an interesting tour in the sense that I had a bit of trepidation going into it, just following what 2017 meant to the band. It felt like a big peak moment. The Baker's Dozen was like this culmination of, it seemed like everything the band had been trying to cultivate since their earliest days, you know, just this space where all their fans can come together and they play 3 weeks of incredible music, and that spilled over in some ways to Dick's, to New Year's Eve. And, you know, as we've seen over the last, you know, 5 years, the second half of 3.0, Fish has a really big year, like 2015, 2013. It's usually followed by a year of a lot of transition and a lot of, like, conflicts amongst, like, the fan base about how they're playing. And I kind of expected that this year. And I feel like we've gotten this really interesting mix of this clear transition the band is going through. I mean, you look at how much Trey is emphasizing his guitar rig and his new effects, and the Leslie speaker, and like all of what that is doing to his sound and how he's trying to fuse that in with the band. And they also, I mean, I think it's really interesting, and I'll kind of get into this. I mean, they played two Big Boat songs back to back last night, Tide Turns and No Man in No Man's Land. And it sounded so bizarre. And yet what Fish album can you imagine of the last 20 years where it's weird 2 years after the album comes out to hear those songs played in a set? Like they've barely even touched those songs in like a rotation. So like there's a lot that's still being like fitted into what Fish is in 2018. But at the same time, I would go out and I'd argue that 722, the third night of the Gorge, is one of the best shows they've played of all 3.0. I think a lot of the jamming when they really connect is some of the most high quality jamming that they've played over the last 5 years. But I do think that they're having some rough patches, and you know, it's that constant evolution of the band. You can never expect them to just like stay stagnant and do what you want them to do repeatedly year after year. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, I was at the Bill Graham shows and the Tahoe shows. I think you guys said on the, Beyond the Pond that the Everything's Right was it from Tahoe or Soul Planet, which are two of my favorite songs from that run, were really notable. And kind of the new songs having some more legs. The Bill Graham Carini to me was like, that was the highlight of the four shows I saw, but that took Trey into more comfortable jamming mode with you know, just working up to a kind of traditional Bliss peak. Do you feel like the jamming has been consistent, or do you feel like it's been not consistent in a good or bad way, but just in terms of thematic, I guess? Or do you feel like it's been kind of a place?
I feel like we've gotten a couple of different styles of jams, but I feel like the focus this year has been really on these kind of textural wall of sound, kind of dimly lit ambient type of jamming. And I know that I've seen, I don't know, like if I'd say like complaints, but I know I've seen from a lot of people being like, where are the bliss jams? And I am an ambient fiend. It's like, that's like, I don't know, if I'm like writing or if I'm like doing like work around the house, like I'm going to have I have a lot of ambient music that plays on a regular rotation in my life. And for me, Summer 98 has always been a really like a big tour for me to listen to, because that was the band's focus and their jamming style. They wanted to go towards this very minimalism, kind of this like linear plane of music where they all existed in the same way and they all contributed equally, and nobody like pushed the band, you know, further than the others. And you know, the first night of the Forum, we got a lot of that in the second set, and while I definitely thought it could go a little bit deeper in a lot of the jams, that style, and that's particularly why I love the Gorge Night 3, is that whole second set is just like this ambient suite. So I'm personally into that theme of the whole tour. I also have been finding, and we'll talk about this with the Forum last night, their best jams last night were all like these big peaking moments and very blissful. And so that's still like that, the hose jamming is still like the bread and butter, I would say.
Brian, I know you mentioned on Twitter and on Beyond the Pond, the sort of post peak jamming, and that's where some of the ambient stuff comes along. I've been noticing that as well. I've been hearing a lot of like Pink Floyd sounding stuff. I've seen comments about that on Twitter too. So that kind of, that is the sort of soundscape stuff. Well, let's talk about the last night's show, Forum Night 2. Interesting first set song selection. I mean, but the whole show song selection was sort of strange and interesting. But what was your take on the first set?
So the first set, I mean, this would go for like the entirety of the show. I don't think I'd ever write this set list out in any scenario of like, this is what I want to hear at a show. And like, as it was coming out, like song after song, I had a real sense of like, the Forum has gotten a very specific type of show over the last 4 years. And it's like a Saturday night rock and roll show. And it's as if like Fish is like hoping there's some guy from, you know, the larger music industry who's like, you know what, we should actually push Fish into the popular music realm. Like they hear something from Fuego and they want to just like, you know, give Fish this opportunity to step over to the other side of like popular music.
And could be the crowd too, right?
What's that?
Could be the crowd too.
It could be. I mean, it was a really interesting crowd. That was my first California show. And, I mean, there was really great energy in the room throughout the entire weekend. But it felt a little bit more, it felt like more laid back and aggressive compared to an East Coast crowd. Like it just didn't feel like I was seeing Fish in their home base, like clearly. But it definitely felt like a Fish crowd. But last night's first set, despite the song selection, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. We had really great seats. We were sitting head on up above in the second tier, and the sound was amazing back there. And we had a really great view of the lights, and we could see the band. I mean, the arena feels very much like MSG, where there's really not a bad seat in the house. Nice. The highlight for me, without question, was Kill Devil Falls. That was kind of a moment in the first set where I was like, we could very easily see one of those like 14 song first sets here right now. And then, and I said this, I think last night, right after the show on Twitter, I really felt like the band had been trying really hard all weekend at connecting on a jam. And I don't think I don't really think it came together, especially in the second set of Friday night show, but I think it just came together in an instant there with the Kill Devil Falls. I mean, the riff that Trey jumps on, you know, you can argue in some cases, it's like how quickly he found the riff in the Camden Chalk Dust from 99. Like, it just came out of nowhere, he picked up on it, the band was off rolling, and they were just, the bliss jam that they delivered there was spectacular, and then the re-entry into Kill Devil Falls was a little rough, but was really cool to hear.
Cool. And it's interesting. So we're, what, 9 shows in now, right? Maybe someone on the internet or one of our faithful listeners can tell us what they think, but you know, this might be the point where they start clicking. I just think about, and our friend Chillwig has his even year theory that you were kind of describing earlier. Yeah. That may or may not be the case, but I know I'm thinking about like Atlanta 2015 and some of the runs where like things started to just clearly click into place. I'm just curious if that's like a, you know, 10 shows in kind of thing where that typically happens. I guess we'll see if it continues, but did you feel like that continued into set two?
Yeah. I mean, set two again, song selection wise, despite a few, aside from a couple moments, I would never have asked for this second set. I would never wish this on anyone, to be totally honest.
Even but, if the ocean is love.
But I Gotajibu was incredibly patient, and I felt for a second they could take it outside of its realm, but it stayed very much contained and was one of those just great jams that... And I love when Phish does this, when they kind of expand on the theme of a song for like 4 minutes longer than you're used to. And it just gives you like these, you know, riffs and kind of musical ideas within a song that you're so familiar with that you just had never heard was possible. And it's just them kind of exploring like a specific key of music. And I loved it. I thought it peaked really well. Fuego definitely kind of made me nervous the minute it started. It once again felt like we're getting a big jukebox type of second set here. And then I loved how they went into the jam, and then Trey locked in on this riff, and it sounded like it was the most fragile riff they'd ever found. Like, had the whole band not been committed to building it back up, there's no question in my mind that they would have just fitted out and gone into another song. But they stayed super committed. They seemed like they all really liked the idea that he presented. And they built it up over like the last 5 or 6 minutes of the jam in a way that like I was like arms up, like just like screaming at the top of my lungs. I was so happy at that moment. I was sitting with our friend Ben Greenfield, Eki Forge OPT. And
nice.
He and I had a very similar reaction when Fuego started. And by the end of that, we were like, that completely changes the dynamic of how we look at this weekend. So I was super into that. I mean, that was, I thought back to the twist from November 1st, 2013, the night after the wingsuit set, and the, first Fuego jam, the July 4th, 2014, just kind of jam where they're like, you know, jamming on a chord progression, and it just builds into this peak. And oh man, that was everything. And I said at the end of it, I said, I don't care what they play. And of course that came back and hit me in the face, because I've seen Meat Stick at every single run I've gone to since 2015. I literally awesome. Cannot escape this song. I wish I still got the joke of this song. Like, now it just feels like a joke that's being played on me.
Yep. I know the feeling.
And then when they started up Soul Planet, I mean, I want to be an eternal optimist for Phish lyrics. Soul Planet tends to be a bit more sincere than I even am. And I think you probably know I'm a very sincere and somewhat cheesy person at times.
Me too.
Yeah. But like the jam that came off of it again was outstanding. And like to walk away from that show saying that Kill Devil Falls, Fuego and Soul Planet were my peaks of the entire weekend. I would not have expected that going in, and there's no way I would have ever predicted anything like that.
And you get a wingsuit in sort of a cool down spot.
Really cool. Good placement for wingsuit.
That's awesome. I love that song. I haven't seen it in a long time, actually, and one of my favorites. And then Cavern to close it out. And so I guess what do you? You also got a character zero, which we got one in Tahoe, and
yeah,
I'll never complain about a character zero. Yeah, it's always fun.
Now it's like kind of in the category with like Julius and Sample for me, in the sense that never going to ask for those songs, but when they're, and I'm probably never going to like really re-listen to them, you know, other than like obviously the jammed out versions that they've done of those three songs. But when they're playing live, the band just feels like the best rock and roll band you've ever seen. And mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so Brian, what should we leave people with in terms of a little music?
I just re-listened to it. I think it's the best part of the whole weekend. I think it's one of the peak jams of the whole overall tour so far. I would go with the last couple of minutes of Fuego. Once they, you know, get that riff going, build it back up, it's just such a creative, totally connected moment for the band.
Awesome. All right, we'll do it. And Brian can be found on Twitter at Suffering Juke, J-U-K-E, and on Beyond the Pond, obviously.
Yes.
And Brian, you we'll see you. Where can people find you on tour this summer besides the LA shows?
So I made a spur-of-the-moment decision last week, and I'm going to Austin. So I'm back in Denver. I got back to
Amazing.
Denver like 2 hours ago, and I'm flying to Austin in like 40 hours now, and then I'll be I don't know how my wife let me do this, but
yeah.
She's an absolute angel.
I was wondering the same thing about myself when I flew to the West Coast twice in 2 weeks.
So yeah. When I realized your itinerary, I was like, how in the hell did Rachel let him do this? But amazing stuff. And then we'll be at Dick's. That's our first hometown Dick show. And
yeah. And
we're going to do Vegas in the fall.
Awesome. Cool. Well, people should check out Beyond the Pond if you haven't yet. Brian and Dave, they go pretty deep in terms of new music. I learn stuff every time I listen. So thanks for doing it.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming on. And you and I have some plans we need to get a little more detailed on in terms of another in-depth HF pod episode. So we'll do that post summer tour.
I'm there for it, man.
All right, everyone. Here's some Fuego, jam from Fuego, which you probably wouldn't have expected us to say, but really cool stuff. And Brian, thanks for joining.
Thank you, man.
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly two centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Thank you. is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.